The Triple M Footy.
Listen to the fans.
Fan Podcast.
Yes, it's the Triple M Fan Footy Podcast, the podcast that talks footy like you talk footy. We're back for another week. There's just one more round of the AFL season left. It's all heating up still. The top two's more or less decided, but there's still another six teams that can make finals, and we'll talk through all that. I'm your host, Rudy Etzel. I'm joined today by Will Ralston. Hello, Will.
Well, Rudy, how are you?
I'm good. Will's made his background the Dan Andrews press conference background.
Keeps us together.
So instead of doing any prep for this podcast, we've just been like imitating Dan Andrews being Will. Don't expect
it's good fun.
You know, don't expect heaps of brilliant footy talk on the back of that. We've also We've also got Liam Flanagan. Flanners, how are you, mate?
Going very well, Rudy. Yep, no funny backgrounds. I'm just very serious. I'll come prepared for this podcast, unlike Will, who just, you know, puts more time and effort into his backgrounds. That's okay.
You've prepared a nice moustache. Is that, how fresh is that?
This is what you call, and when you get asked to participate in Movember, this is what you do when you, like, if I clean shaved at the start of November, there'd be nothing to show for it. I'm taking a month and a half run up to Movember.
2 months out?
Yeah.
It's outrageous. It's Lance Armstrong. You can't be doing that. Anyway, I rate it. It's a good look.
It is a good look. And finally, we've got Tommy Beers back this week after a great showing last week. How are you, Beersy?
G'day, lads. Good to be back. Must have done something right last week to get the call up again, but yeah, it's good to be here.
We're going to kick off with our legends of the week, and I might stick with you, Tommy. Can you give me your legend?
Oh, I'm happy to kick things off with the big American. I'm a bit biased here as a Collingwood supporter, but his efforts against the Suns, particularly his goal on the run with a bounce, was just the most ridiculous play you're ever likely to see. I'm making him my legend of the week just for being the tallest man ever to take a running bounce and kick a goal from 40 on an angle.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? It reminded me, you did the same thing against the Cats back in 2016. And I remember it really, really well. Will, who's your legend this week?
Yeah, I thought that goal that Cox scored in 2016, is that when it was? I thought that was going to be the most impressive athletic feat of his career, but he definitely one-upped it. We discussed pre-show. I'm going to take Lachlan Scholl from the Adelaide Crows as my legend of the week. 24 touches, 2 goals, 627 metres gained, probably best of field. No Rising Star nomination, of course, because it was given to Isaac Quainer. And
Well deserved, if you ask me.
But, like, the Rising Star has never been, it's never been a, like, who was the best player under the age of 20 this week. It's a cumulative performance-based thing from the season. That's what it has been since the inception of the award. And every time it's like, your round 12 Rising Star nomination is this. And then every comment underneath is, what about, and then the player from my club who is also good. It does my head in.
I do think Scholl had a case, though, to be fair.
Yeah, to be fair, it was one of the better games that a kid his age has put together.
Quarter time, he was the best player on the ground by a mile. Like, he had 2 goals and 12 touches to quarter time. He ripped the game apart.
The kid everyone's forgetting about in all this, though, is Trent Rivers from the D's, who had his best game of his short career and basically won, like, kicked the most important goal of the game to keep their finals hopes alive. He has an argument for being robbed as well.
But then you know what will happen. Lachlan Scholl will get nominated like this week, and then I'll say, what about Jared Rivers? Who's Jared. He actually won a Rising Star.
He did.
You've had your time, Jared.
Get back to coaching the Collingwood 2s or whatever it is. I think Rivers can actually be nominated again next year, so I don't think he'll miss out on it. Flanners, who's of the week?
Rowell will win it next year, don't worry.
Oh, yeah, Matty Rowell's still eligible, which he shouldn't be. My legend of the week is Jared Rufford for facilitating the training session, the greatest training session that's ever been held from all reports. You know, there's that rumour about, or there's that discussion about the Dream Team scrimmage where Magic Johnson's team went head-to-head with Michael Jordan's team ahead of the Olympics one year, and they reckon it's the greatest basketball ever played. I feel the same way about this training session that Jared Roughhead conducted with Shane Edwards and Dan Hannabury and Gary Abbott. The way people are talking about it, you'd think it's the greatest training session that's ever been held. So to Jared Roughhead for getting that off the ground and facilitating, he's my legend of the week.
Great nomination.
Not a great single nomination. Target was missed in the whole 45
Exactly.
Or tackle load.
The ball never touched the ground.
My legend this week, I was going to go with Bryce Gibbs for handling the circumstances of his retirement so classily, but someone's come in late, Paddy Dangerfield up there in the hub, just exposing the journo. So the Geelong boys are doing their gym work from right in front of where the journos were congregating ahead of Gill's presser today. And he's just... If Paddy Dangerfield is making a nuisance of himself with the phone, filming Damien Barrett out on the green stuff with the shirt untucked, just Tommy Brown having a kick with someone, trying to take a mark one-handed. And it wasn't a good work. Didn't work out well for Tommy. Good content. Thanks, Danger. Yeah. I've got to say, as I won't get a chance to genuinely say it, but I think Dangerfield's had an incredibly good year. Not so much on the deck, but he's basically been like an ad hoc spokesman for the players because he's the AFLPA president. He's captained Geelong a fair bit and he's been playing heaps of different roles. I think he's done an incredible job this year. I reckon they might make him All-Australian captain.
Ooh. Off the script. How about the Cats not nominating him for the MVP? He didn't make their top three. That's remarkable.
Did he not make Geelong's top three? Because I saw Cripps didn't make Carlton's.
I think it was Menegola, Guthrie and Hawkins. Is that right?
Hawkins.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's bizarre.
So Paddy might finish top three or top five in the Brownlow and he won't be nominated for the MVP.
Yeah.
Is that a sign of players not really giving a shit? Is that what that means? Like, honestly, do you reckon they care? Because there's that famous story about the Lions players back in the day nominating, was it Loney for the most courageous player? Like they all just jumped on it.
So I think genuine bullies.
Yeah, if the piss taking goes back that far, like not nominating Cripps, you reckon Cripps was just like, don't nominate me, boys, I've won one, just go for it.
I suspect that's what happened with Dangerfield, was that he said, oh, just don't nominate me,
my trophy cabinet goes also, all right.
Yeah, yeah. There's also maybe like he thinks that there's not much, like maybe he's worried about integrity issues with being the Players Association president. I don't know.
I reckon Danger was a bit shook by the reason he didn't put his name up. It was because he was still a bit shook from Xavier Ellis's drive-by on Twitter after the game or during the Cats game over the weekend. It was outstanding. Xavier Ellis. I'll tweet this. I'll read it for you, word for word. I'll tweet this until Dangerfield retires or I pass. Fox talking the importance of Danger playing forward. He went from best on ground in the mid to getting one shit disposal in that quarter forward before moving into the mid to get a free kick late. He ain't a forward sphincter. What's that? That is... Oh, and he ends it with gun midfielder. But I was just like, wow, Zay from deep.
Yeah.
Possibly harsh.
I tend to agree a bit. There was an Easter game against Hawthorn where he was a bit later in the season.
He kicked 5-6.
Oh, was it?
He kicked 5-6 after hurting himself in the first quarter.
Yeah, and he was carrying on his ankle. I remember that.
He also won the Cats a final playing as a forward against Sydney a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So he's a pretty handy forward. He's kicked, I think he's kicked 150 goals or something, I think he's kicked 300 goals or so in his career. So he can kick goals. He's all right.
He's elite above his head, but he's not a good set shot. I think he's a waste in the forward line personally. But anyway,
well, you and Xavier Ellis, so you're in good company.
I'm in great company.
On the subject of the Cats, weren't they snuffed out on by Richmond on Friday night? And you'll notice when they're going badly, I call them they and not we.
You jump off quick.
It was like I was bullish on the Cats. I've been saying for a few weeks, I had a real chance in the fag this year. And then every single insecurity possible just exposed. Every crack became a chasm against Richmond the other night. The Cats just can't beat Richmond. They've got them by the short and curlies. They've got them by the tail. Yeah.
They've still got so much upside, though, the Cats. Like, Saywood and Ablett didn't play that game. Gary Rowan was a laid out, so your forward line structure was all out. I'm going to make excuses for the Cats, but it was worrying.
Thank you, Beardsy. That's all I wanted.
And come a final, you just know Gary Rowan's going to show up. You know he's going to be the difference. On the big stage. But yeah, it's for my team, Brisbane, it's the same thing. I feel like we can put up a really good fight against any team in the comp, but Richmond will choke the life out of us.
Anyone who tipped the Cats though, Rudy, is an idiot, because you got the Cats coming up. You got the Cats, all those outs Beersy just mentioned, but the Cats were coming off a 4-day break. The Tigers a 9-day break. Yeah. And I reckon in this adjusted footy mania bubble season, the breaks in between games can't be overstated. Massive. And to give the Tigers a 9-day break to freshen up, and just, you know, the Tigers don't need much excuse to get pretty happy with themselves. You give them 9 days to pat each other on the back, they'll come out flying, and they did.
Yeah, they did. I've got to say, I tipped Richmond and didn't really hesitate, mostly because they needed the win and the Cats didn't. Like, they did
the reverse Moz of a supporter, like backing against your other team.
I feel like Rudy's just brought this segment up just so that, like, we can pump the Cats up a bit.
It's all fine.
Did you notice, though, Metricon, they've installed a pool? Remember how we were talking the other day? The Gabba pool. I like to think we had a hand in this, because we brought up on the podcast a few weeks ago, you know, that the Gabba should open the pool deck for the granny. And I reckon Metricon Stadium, I reckon, what are they called? Stadiums Queensland or something, have seen the post and gone, yeah, we probably can't do it for the Gabba for granny day, but Metricon
for a semi-final, let's do that.
Yeah. A little plungy pool in. How is the bloke when the Cats are making their comeback in the last quarter? They cut to that bloke wearing like the old mid-90s AFL jersey, he's just jumping up and down in the pool. It didn't look amazingly appealing, I've got to say.
Yeah, it's 26 and sunny today on the Gold Coast, so it's pool weather.
Word of warning to anybody listening to this, whoever goes to a footy game where there's a pool, or a cricket game for that matter, don't get in the pool. You know what a resort pool is like. You see people sit at the pool bar for 4 hours straight and not leave while sinking back 10 beers or whatever. They're going in the pool. They're pissing in the pool. Yeah. And I can guarantee you,
must come out.
Whoever is sitting in that pool at a football game is pissing in the pool.
Yeah, it's a petri dish. The Metricon pool is just a petri dish.
In the era of coronavirus, it seems like you're just asking for it, doesn't it? Melbourne have gotten themselves off the canvas a little bit. We were sort of decrying the end of their season, but that win over GWS is massive for them. They can still technically make the finals, Melbourne.
Because no one wants to finish eighth. It's just
we discussed this last week and nothing's changed.
Musical chairs, and there's a chair that's empty and three blokes who are standing and no one wants to sit on it. I don't know. Like, I still don't know how this is going to wrap up. I think the Bulldogs are a big chance to lose to Freo.
They are. Freo are, like, dangerous because they're just so organised. It's like watching a really good soccer team that's not very good up front, but has really good defense, like really well organized defense. And Melbourne, all they need to do, if the Dogs lose, all they need to do is beat Essendon, and that shouldn't be so hard.
She's a piece of piss.
Yeah.
I just reckon that as hard as it is to see who's going to finish eighth, and no one wants to finish eighth, there is nothing surer than whoever finishes eighth comes into the finals and wins one immediately and knocks a contender out. It's just going to happen.
Well, at this stage, it looks like
probably going to Perth. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever finishes eighth is going to Perth. So it's a poison chalice.
I reckon we're all fans of teams in the top four, me, you, and Flanners, Will.
Yeah.
Surely your absolute best scenario is that Collingwood play West Coast week one, and then that takes one of them out of the semi-finals. I don't want to play either West Coast or Collingwood week two of the final. Cats lose.
They're the danger ones. You got to beat a few pretty handy teams along the way to win a granny. But best case for me is to jump on Beersy's team this coming Monday, which also happens to be my birthday, because the Lions might sew up minor premiership if the Magpies get over the Power. So that's probably best case for us, because then we avoid Richmond week one of the finals. But it's a few interesting permutations still yet to play out.
Best case scenario for all the seven teams not fighting for that eighth spot, is that everybody above North Melbourne gets done for breaching the salary cap and has their points erased, and the Kangaroos plays. That's the best case scenario for the top seven teams, is that the Kangaroos come into the final somehow. But Rudy, you mentioned the Demons. I didn't see that in them, that win over. I called that game for Triple M, and I didn't see that coming, because they haven't been the most. They're not filled with fortitude when it comes to, you know, fighting out the games they need to win previously. But yeah. Max Gawn, their skipper, was massive in the final term when the game needed to be won. And Stephen May, I'd excuse him turning up and needing to be put in the fat camp training session team again next preseason, because he was outstanding. He was so good.
How good is he?
Is that what they've been running? That's what Jared Ruffin's been running, isn't it?
I do love Stephen May because he makes it look so easy. He's just sort of like, like he's holding a bloke off with one hand and then just takes a go with the other. Mm. Plays on
such a good player.
It's understated how undersized he is as well. Like, he's 190, I think, 191.
Mm. Really?
Like, and he plays on blokes. Yeah, and he plays on blokes who are 2 meters tall consistently, and you just don't even realize it.
So he's shorter than Paddy Cripps.
Yeah, legitimately. I'll double check that now, but I'm pretty sure he's like 190.
Yeah, do that. we are known for our research on this pod. So
according to his Wikipedia page, he's at 190 on the dot and 93 kilos.
Citation.
That seems undersized. That I reckon Stephen's got in there and hacked his own Wikipedia page. I think he'd have to be heavier than that. 93 kilos.
Yeah. Come on, Stephen.
This is after Jared Ruffhead's fat camp, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hang on. Actually, now we've got on the Melbourne website, he's 193 and 100 kegs, which adds up a bit more.
That's better.
He's still shorter than Paddy.
He might have been 190 and 93 when he was like 17.
When he was recruited.
possibly draft stats, you'd argue it was the best game of his career, wouldn't you? At least his Melbourne career.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I can't speak for every single game he played at Gold Coast, but it's the best I've seen him play.
There was a game he played when he was I think he was captain of the Gold Coast Suns at the SCG, that huge upset about three years ago, where he was monumental. And I thought the way he celebrated he was going to stick around at the Gold Coast Suns, that joke was on me. He couldn't get out of there quick enough.
Yeah. Not to be.
But that definitely is his best game as a Demon.
Yeah.
In a word, before we move on, guys, who will take the eighth? Who will take the last two spots in the eighth? Let's just go with the eighth spot, because I reckon it's fair to say
Saints are home.
So who do you reckon will, Dogs or Melbourne or GWS?
Dogs.
I reckon the D's will steal it. I'm really excited to see their game against Essendon and Dogs Freo. I think it's going to be interesting. I think the Giants are too far back. They've got a lot of percentage.
Too far back. They torched this season badly, GWS, to a huge extent. I reckon the Dogs as well. What about you, Flannis?
Just because it'll be funny if it happens and you blokes have all written them off, GWS.
Good. I like that. Yeah. I love it.
All they need a lot to go right, but they are such a talented team. It gets addressed a lot.
You know how
they have all the stars aligning.
You know how the clubs put things up, slogans up on their dressing room walls and whatever. That word talent should be on GWS's wall, and then have the no smoking sign, the ban through it. They should not be allowed to reference that, because it's what has been referenced at that club for as long as it's existed, and it doesn't matter anymore because. Chose that they got to a grand final last year, sure, but I bet Leon Cameron is sick of hearing about the talent that he has on his list.
It'd do his head in.
I guarantee he is. Now, we've tasked each other to come up, guys, with the cult figure at each footy club around the competition. And after we've done that, we'll put it out to the fans and see what they think. Mm. So let's start with Adelaide. Now, Flanners, you've got someone for the Crows.
Yeah, it's not a if Eddie was still there, Eddie Betts walk up start. He's not there anymore. I think it's got to be Ben Crocker. I think in a rebuild year, tattoos is not something that's ever been in abundance at the Adelaide Crows. Rusciutto had a sneaky full back tat sneaking out the edges of his jumper back in the day, but Ben Crocker to be rolling full sleeves, full pant leg tattoos. And when he did get picked for his first game this year, he rocked out a Fortnite dance when they told him. He's got a bit of something about him that Crows fans wouldn't have seen previously.
I was thinking maybe Ben Keyes because he looks like the Pokemon Pidgeot. But,
He also looks like one of the penguins from Surf's Up, and I think that's been side by side comparisons. It's the hairstyle. So I like Crocker. I'm happy to lock that in. Just to be clear, these are all current players too that we're trying to know.
That's true. Brisbane for you, Will.
Is Mitch Robinson too old / too culty? Possibly. It's obvious. It's Matt Eagles. Like it just is
100%.
Yeah, we'll lock that in.
The recruit
has to be Eagles.
Yeah, but like a walking playing meme. That's he's like,
yeah, it's good.
None before him.
Beersy, you're pretty passionate about the Carlton nomination, I believe.
Yeah, well, he made my legend of the week last week, so I think it's fitting that he was pretty much my legend of the week for being a cult figure last week. So Matt Cottrell, who infamously kicked the goal and carried on and then was subsequently dropped during the week in the same week. That's cult figure areas and I'm locking him in.
Yes, indeed.
The cult figure, before you move on, Rudy, I will say about the Carlton cult figure chair, throne, whatever you want to call it. It's a poison chalice. And I realise I've mixed my metaphors there. But because Dylan Buckley held it, delisted. Mm-hmm. Daniel Gorringe held it. Delisted. You know, you could argue Santoro Halpin had
it.
Delisted. Yeah. So it doesn't bode well for Matthew Cottrell.
Josh Bootsma. Delisted.
Exactly.
Dylan Vioho Rainbow.
And poor Josh Bootsma doesn't even have a podcast now. he's just got booted in.
Sitting duck.
Beersy, I might stick with you for the Collingwood nom, seeing as they're your mob.
Well, Coxie's probably too obvious. Too big. I don't know. Yeah, he's too big. I think one that could come on is Atu Bosenivalagi. I reckon he's got a bit of cult figure about him. He's got like that weird Joffa connection with him. He's got a bit of flash about him. Yeah, go for it.
Because I like Bosenivalagi, but I think it's Max Lynch. I think he's weird.
No, that's a good nom.
At Maximum Lunch.
He's a rogue character.
He's the strangest unit I've ever seen. And he's played one game.
Does he call himself Maximum Lunch, does he?
That's his Instagram.
Do you follow him on Instagram? Yeah. He's got 12,000 followers or something.
I've got to get him. It's a pity Cale Kirby doesn't make the cut because he would have been my nomination.
He
could have. with Essendon, I mean, Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody's the obvious one, especially after that song from last year. But I think Irving Mosquito also should get a look in. When your name is Mosquito,
the name gets him over the line. No. And Tipper is a bit mainstream as well. If we're going
too mainstream, I think. Yeah. I think you can outgrow. Yeah, you can outgrow cult status.
You can indeed. The man from Freo who has not outgrown cult status is my boy Tobe Watson. I'm refusing to call him Toby. He's always Tobe for me.
Is that how you pronounce it? Is it meant to be pronounced Toby?
Toby. Yeah, we discussed this at length on this podcast before his debut.
But I'm going with Tobe. Sorry, Tobe. He looks like the kid from Ratatouille.
That was such a – I remember when you posted that, Rudy. That was bang on. You may have discussed this, but what's the origins of Toby as a name with an E? Do we know the derivation?
He might be the first ever.
I think he is the origin of
it. In which case – Parents have just made a mistake.
You've just doomed your son to a lifetime of, no, it's actually got an E. Yeah, I don't know where they came up with it.
Richmond's new recruit. I'm going to have to get my head around the fact his name's not mate. Who's the cousin of Soldo?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I know you're talking about. I can't remember his name.
The big 213-centimeter basketball.
Mate.
Is it pronounced Mate?
Mate.
Well,
you're kidding.
You were going to call him Mate?
I just thought it was Mate. I thought it was a great surname.
No, it's Mate. They've got like a big Croatian family history there now with like Ivan Maric and
Mate Solo. Kalina.
Kalina, yeah. It's probably, is it a C at the start?
Of Mate? No, it starts with an M.
No, I'm kidding. Kalina.
Yes, it does start with a C.
But it's probably pronounced Chalina then, like Jason Chalina, the ex-Socceroo. And remember how Maric and Soldo are really serious about being called Ivan and not Ivan because it's the Croatian. Yeah. He's probably, I reckon Mate Chalina would be the same way.
So who's going to be the first idiot in media who goes, mate, and then gets punched in the face?
It's already happened.
Yeah.
Was it JB who got slammed for calling Ivan Soldo Ivan in an interview and he just shot it down immediately and JB Ivan, was just backtracking? Yeah.
That's good. You don't. Yeah. Speaking of weird names, the Geelong cult figure was obvious. It's got to be Grian Myers.
It has to be. He's captain of the cult figures team. Has to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, captain coach, I think. His name sounds like one if you were given 3 seconds to make one up.
apparently his parents wanted to call him Ryan, but liked the G in the front because it was unique.
But there is no G in the front.
They called him Ryan. And then he grew up being a Brisbane Lions fan because his name rhymed with Lion. It's all
hold on. He because very it rhymed with. Lion,
yeah.
So is he that
became,
true?
No. He became This is what he reckons. I read it somewhere. He said that he became a Brisbane Lions fan because Lion rhymed with Grian.
Oh no.
He also does all his Christmas shopping at Myer too, not Dave Jones, because of his name. I don't know. I just heard that somewhere.
I respect very quickly. Just to sum up, Grian, I respect his weird kicking action as well. I love that. I think that goes a long way to supporting the cult hero status. The fact that there would have been every coach he had in his junior career to a point would have said, mate, don't kick like that. Don't kick like that. He said, I'm kicking like this. This is how I'm rolling.
Yeah.
I'm and right. the dreadies right. just cap it off as well.
He ticks a lot dreadies. Of
boxes. He's a complete package.
Yeah. And he's a star. Like, he's fun to watch.
He's a gun too. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we need a Gold Coast nomination
I've got two, and they're pretty easy. It's Rankin or Rowell. Has Rowell outgrown status yet? He's only played 4 games.
He's too
games.
Good.
Is he too good? Already,
you can't.
I think they're both too good.
Yeah, you can't pick one in the draft and a cult figure.
Who you got, Beezy?
I reckon there's one, and he's the most obvious one, 2 meter Peter.
Ah, yes.
Peter Wright.
Gentlemen.
He's already 2 meter Peter.
He's sort of over the hill. He's sort
but
of
does
like
that not make him
so
more
bad?
Like,
he's
gonna
he's
get
so
a
under the radar.
Life. Yeah,
he's so under the radar. He's not even getting picked at Gold Coast.
Can I just throw one more in? I love that there's so many options at the Suns. He's not actually playing in the competition because he's serving a 12-month ban. Braden Crosley.
Oh, big chopper.
He's out of the game for a cocaine suspension. He looks 40. His mum is a good-looking sort, as evidenced by when she turned up and the cameraman for Fox or whoever it was couldn't stop panning to her. He's rocking a handlebar moustache. He's got the mullet going. And his name's Braden. Like, I think he ticks a lot of boxes.
I forgot he existed. Is he even on... So that's why I can't see him on their list because he's banned.
Currently,
that might make him ineligible. I will acknowledge that.
Maybe on the podium as well, Sam Flanders, just because his name's Flanders.
And
does anyone else just go Flanders every time?
Sorry, and Braden Crosley's nickname is Goober. Like, there's just lots to like. I'm just saying.
There's plenty.
Locking Crosley. Yeah.
There's a whole episode in Gold Coast cult figures, I feel.
Yeah, it's true. GWS, you're up there in Sydney, Flanders. You must be well placed to give us a GWS cult figure.
Yeah, again, Dylan Buckley would have been a walk-up start 12 months ago. Yeah. Did you say easy, Will?
I've got an easy one.
Go,
yeah.
Hit me.
Tommy Sheridan.
Yeah, good.
Mm.
Yeah, runs all those FIFA comps, has an active social media presence. And he's pretty funny. Good mate to Dylan
Buckley.
Takes
a piss out of himself.
Yeah, I think he just names himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Happy with Sherritt. It's good call. And runs a show and just side hustle sunglasses business. Rick's eyewear as well. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah. We've also got Shane Mumford, who's a massive meme. the Sausage King.
He is very much a meme, the Sausage King. He leads the league for free kicks against this season, despite only playing 9 games. The bloke second to him has played 14.
I called the game where we thought he was going to break the record. I think the record's like 17 free kicks against in a game, and the Giants were home in this game. I think they were playing Geelong, or I can't remember, but I was doing it with Drew Bolton, and we were actively cheering every time Mummy gave away a free kick, well, counting it down, 5 to go! I think he finished about 4 short, but still.
That's funny.
That is funny. We're just about out of time here, so we might leave the other half of the list to next week. And in fact, we'll put it out to you guys, the listeners. Let us know who you think is the biggest current cult figure for your club, whether we've already picked one or they're still to come next week, and we'll give you a big shout out on next week's pod. For listening to us. It's still all to play for in round 18 for quite a few teams, so make sure you listen to Triple M Footy's coverage. You can find out when and where we're rocking footy on our website, and also make sure you stay across all the socials at Triple M Footy everywhere. I've been your host, Rudy Etzel, been joined by Will Ralston.
Thank you, Brady.
Liam Flanagan.
Go the pair.
And, of course, Tommy Beers.
Good stuff, James. Thanks for having me back again.
Anytime. We'll see you next time.